is 7:41 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift live from Flowery Branch at Falcons training camp. It is day one. I'm Allie Mack. Mike is to my right. Bo's a little bit further down on the table from me. And, of course, Dylan is back at the station keeping us on the air.
Wait a minute.
I feel like I'm they're just like being shot after shot. Taken.
I mean, I saw it was the hand motion. I mean, it was the hand motion where she was clearly – I guess maybe she was talking about eye level, but it looked like a shot.
I didn't mean for it to be a shot.
It's the second straight time we've came out of break, and she's just wholeheartedly looked at me and just unleashed. Like, I even asked her from when we got out of the trivia segment, I was like, so you annoy me? No, not at all. I'm just thinking about the setting of the next segment. I go, okay. And then literally all she's done is take shots at me since. So
she made a – just so people know out there, she made like a – eye level gesture with her hand, but it looked like a height joke.
Yeah.
It looked like a height joke.
You guys
so,
are
both
reading
sitting
into
down
this,
underneath
which...
us.
Sometimes when you're you have flashbacks, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've had shots taken at me before. I mean, I worked with Mike Bell for 15 years, so go figure. So I read a room.
I feel like we've got some projection going on, but we will move on from that. This
from
hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're about to hear from Caden Ellis. He spoke yesterday, but we are right in front of the weight room. Everyone is working out right now at Falcons training camp. Staff is setting up all kinds of stuff here in the parking lot, like the store over here. I am curious, do either of you have your wives given you a budget with the store that they're setting up over
My
here?
My wife knows I'm not going over there.
Oh, okay.
Dude, nothing's going to fit me over in that thing. Are you kidding me? The bucket hat, like my head's too big for all that stuff. I'll go over there and say, hey, y'all got anything in 3X? And usually they sell out within the first couple minutes of things that big. So it is what it is. No, I'll
didn't mean to make it such a downer.
My wife, she didn't have to give me a budget. She knows that, you know, anything that I've got Falcons related probably came from the internet.
Bo, will you be looking for a little onesie or something for Pork Chop?
We know David Bassidy and Matt Haley and Taylor and everybody at Falcons sent me a couple onesies when Pork Chop was born.
So sweet.
So I've got those ready. But I might go over there and look at a hat or two because you know what? Hats fit. They don't fit me in a different way. They just look too big on me. So I might go over there and try one on or two. What?
Just picturing like Five Will Goes West where he puts on that.
Wow, what a pull. What the sequel.
You can pull Five Will Goes West, but I can't drop a casino line and you get on this show. Unbelievable.
We can do it all here on the morning shift. Mike, I didn't give you a chance to tease what you have coming up and mic'd up. What do you got for us?
Well, there
was a couple minutes.
There was a tweet from a former Michigan player that went viral, and it was his training camp schedule under Jim Harbaugh. So I'm going to walk you guys through that and kind of talk about some of the differences now compared to what it was 10, 15 years ago and just how much of a grind training camp can be and what these guys are going through right now. As you talked about, they are finishing up a workout inside right now, and it is only 7:45.
It's funny because we talked about the comments that Bijan made about being comfortable at camp year two and then now year three. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., who was the one in his second year, was like, I feel more powerful. I'm ready to showcase it. And it's like, it's that whole thing. Remember when he wouldn't work out for anybody during his draft process almost 2 years ago now. And I know it was kind of – I think that he had a little bit of a transition he didn't expect, even though he had a great year last year for a rookie receiver. And that's scary because we got to play the Cardinals. We got to play them, and we got to go to Arizona at some point. So thinking that he might be even better and continuing to get stronger and faster is – yeah, we play them. Think December.
Yeah, I just
November.
We've got mic'd up coming up in just a couple minutes, but let's get into this Caden Ellis audio from yesterday here at training camp. First, he was talking about what an ideal position would be.
You know, I think if I had my choice, I'd play inside linebacker on first and second down because you get a chance at every ball, and I would play edge on third down. So it's kind of. I think both have their perks, both have different aspects of the game that, you know, you watch certain guys play, you see the way they impact the game as a stacked linebacker, and you get to see other guys impact the game as an edge or a rusher. And I think just, you know, that's the important part of football to me. And on defense, you know, you don't get the chalk glass, the offense does. They get to choose the play. And so, is when you go up against, you know, certain plays, you got to figure out how do you make your plays, how do you make your splash plays, and whether I'm at stack or edge, pass rushing inside, whatever it is, there's plenty of opportunities. And so I just love it all.
I think that's such a unique and insightful comment from hearing from Caden Ellis, because we talk about him so much, and I think when he was signed here that people had the idea that he was an edge. And he always has been. It's unique to hear him say that, because he is a blitzer. Like, he's not really an edge per se. He is a blitzer. He's a guy that can walk up and blitz, not really, you know, put his hand in the dirt and rush the edge and do kind of some of those different things. But to hear him say that, Bo, I want to get your thoughts on this, because hearing that comment, we've talked about the position battle of Troy Anderson, Divine Diablo at inside backer, and, you know, what kind of different roles. We've also talked about what Jalen Walker is going to do. I just wonder if, in the beginning of training camp, if you'll see a Jalen Walker mirror a Caden Ellis and some of the position flexibility that it sounds like that he would like to see in his game.
I doubt it, not based on the way they say they want Jalen Walker and the things they want for Jalen Walker. I would love it, because Caden Ellis is, I believe this is the last year of his deal, and everything he said at the beginning of that that soundbite about where he would like to play on first and second down, which is the inside, because you got a shot at every ball, and then the outside and being an edge guy on third down, and he's just talking about stats, and stats equal money. It might not equal wins, but for a player, individual stats equal money.
No doubt.
And so I looked at a guy thinking, I know exactly how to get paid in this league, and I want to be at those positions to do all those. Oh, and by the way,
dang,
it helps our team win.
Yep.
If you're a defensive player and you're racking up sacks and interceptions and strip fumbles and that, you know, fumbles and that kind of stuff, those help you win. But yeah, I would love it, but I just don't see it necessarily. But I would love to see Jalen Walker following everything Caden Ellis does in that, because he's so much, because to me, he's so much more Jalen Walker than an edge rusher, which, just like I believe that Caden Ellis is so much more than just a regular inside backer.
Well, I feel like in all the audio we're playing today, you can hear that little twinkle in the eye, like just the excitement that's going on with these guys. Let's get into some more audio from Caden Ellis. He also talked about what he loves seeing on his play sheet.
She's got an arrow. Go that way. And that's what, I love seeing that. I love seeing that.
Yeah, what he's talking about is he's talking about, hey, I don't have to react to what's happening in the backfield. I don't have to react to what the coverage is and what, you know, motions I see. It's a blitz. You're going to be downhill. You're going to either run a pick stunt, or you're going to edge rush, or you're going to be, you know, one of those guys trying to get after the quarterback, or you have a specific spot you at least need to be at on the defense. But you can hear that in his voice where he's like, yep, I want to rush the passer and be able to affect the guys in the backfield. I love hearing those comments come from him.
Yeah, I also think about when, you know, coaches talk about, we just tried to simplify it for them. I mean, when you simplify things for some of these guys, the game's moving so fast. Offenses are throwing so much at you that if you only have to think about just getting to your spot or going after the quarterback or getting to that guy and making sure you're covering him, it allows you to play free and you're not overthinking things. And when you're playing free, you can play aggressive. It flows, and you end up getting better. You get better results. That's. I remember when Todd Grantham came to Georgia and then at Florida too, and people were like, why are these defenses not playing as good to all these talent? And it was like, and then they would always get to the same thing. It was too complex. This simplification for defensive players means so much.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said about that as well. I actually have had this conversation a number of times about Alabama's defense and how complex Nick Saban's defense was, and how in this era of transfers and freshmen that are starting and that are stepping in right away, that you almost have to dumb things down. You don't have guys that will come in and sit back as five-star recruits and start in year three as a five-star linebacker, right? So you almost have to dumb things down in a way, because in year one, you have to have those guys on the field and making an impact. And, you know, to go back to the Jalen Walker conversation, speaking of, you know, five-star players and, you know, linebackers, I also wonder, too, in the back of my head, as I ask those questions about him mirroring Caden Ellis, I also wonder about what the future of Caden Ellis is with this team. This is a guy who numerous times when we've talked about them possibly creating cap room and financial flexibility as you move towards the future, I thought he would be a name that popped up. We talked about him being a defensive MVP. We talked about the thought that he should have been a Pro Bowler or whatever else last year. It's like, what is the future of Caden Ellis? He's a guy that they haven't extended. He is going into the final year of his deal. He will be a free agent next year at this point. And you did just draft a guy in Jalen Walker who can play an off-the-ball linebacker spot. So I think that also kind of feeds into my line of thinking as far as that pairing goes.
Yeah, I don't think you I think it's a very important year for not only him but Troy Anderson as well, because if Troy Anderson was to finally blossom, right, you could probably get him for a little bit less than Caden, because I think Troy will have another year, because four years, what, right? This was his third year. I believe this is his third year. Or is this his fourth?
I can't remember. Fourth.
Yeah, so both these guys would be up then, and you might be able to get him a little bit cheaper because of the injuries and not being able to stay on the field. And the point of me bringing that up is that that makes Caden a little bit expendable, and then you don't have to put Jalen there yet. But, you know, I don't know. I could be wrong. Personally, if I had to choose, I'd take Caden Ellis all day long.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. And that just, like I said, though, I just wonder when you start getting to certain points of things where they start looking, and this has been a forward-looking, front office for a number of years. Obviously, when you draft Michael Penix after you just signed Kirk Cousins, it's like, hey, we're going to look towards the future. I just wonder if you're seeing a little bit of that as well.
Do you think Devon Diablo is a quicker version of Caden Ellis? I don't think he's as good at blitzing. You've said that you didn't. You don't think that, I believe. So I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, this team's going to have some money, though, next year to spend. I know that. So if they want to bring him back and it's going well during the middle of the season, I think they can do it.
Yeah. Well, we are live out here at Falcons training camp, and let's go ahead and talk about the schedule these guys might have. And just a reminder, Day's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Now, you might have seen this tweet, this Instagram post that went viral earlier in this week from Jordan Joe, who was a former player under Jim Harbaugh, and he started going back and forth with people talking about training camp schedules and how difficult certain things can be. Jordan Lewis was revealing the wild. This is on CBS Sports earlier this week, and he's talking about the training camp schedule under Jim Harbaugh. And I think a lot of people kind of got wide-eyed. They're like, man, that is a long training camp schedule. Mm-hmm. And like I said, these guys that are part of the NFL right now, PA-wise, have a limit on how many hours. I think it's 12 hours. It might even be down to 10 as far as the amount of hours you can be put to work. Now, when college players get into the regular season, there is a 20-hour rule, which is kind of a loose thing. You don't count, like, showering, cold tubbing, things like that.
Does this count right now, them working out in there?
This right now is part of their training camp schedule. Like I said, these guys have a cap at, like, 10 or 12 hours a day. This is part of that schedule.
Okay.
Like, you can require them to be at the facility by 6:30. Seven.
Anything that a team official's at is
anything that
counts,
a team official
right?
is at counts. Now, like I said, a lot of those guys will start stretching before that. They'll get here and, like I said, they'll hot tub, cold plunge, whatever else, and work up to this. So that doesn't count. But the things that the team officials are at are going to be on that schedule. Here's what Jim Harbaugh's schedule looked like. All right. 6 to 7:30 is treatment and eating breakfast. Now, I would say 80% of the team is probably involved in treatment at that point, and you're all going to eat breakfast. Your offensive lift is going to last from 7:30 to 8:15 a.m. You're going to get dressed. You got 15 minutes to go in there, get your cleats on, jersey, helmet, everything else, get dressed for walkthrough. Your walkthrough will last from 8:30 to 10 a.m. This is all very broken down very specifically. You're going to get done with the 10 a.m. walkthrough. You have about an hour to where you're going to eat an early lunch. You're going to get more treatment. You're going to get taped. You're going to, your knee braces, everything else, make sure everything's suited up. You got an hour to do all that. You're going to go to offensive and defensive meetings from about, let me make sure I get this meeting from 11 to 11:30. Offensive, defensive meetings from 11:30 to 12:30. You're going to get a slight snack for 30 minutes. You got to be back in meetings for just about an hour, and then you're going to get taped. You're going to get on the field. You're going to get stretched out. You're going to be ready to go by 2 o'clock. You are not off the field until 6 o'clock. When you get off the field, you go straight into your lift. The lift will last for 45 minutes. You get done with that, you go straight to treatment, getting ice packs, whatever else you need to get done. You go straight back into special teams meeting at 8 o'clock p.m., and you don't get done with those offensive and defensive meetings till 10 p.m. So let me rehash that.
Wow.
You started your day at 6 a.m. and you got off the field at 10 p.m. That's exactly what I dealt with when I was part of the Atlanta Falcons. That's what the schedule looked like. As you are sore, probably cramping, and you're walking your way back across the practice field out into those condos out there next to Lake Arthur, it's a long day. And so I look back at that. I don't think people understand exactly what the grind is for some of these guys. Like I said, it's different now than when I was here for the Atlanta Falcons that are actually working out. But these are long days. They are grinding, and they're going to be doing this for the next month. It's a lot to kind of put in there. So
I mean, I know that's a rigorous, very tough schedule, but how refreshing was it to just have it all laid out for you, though?
It was very nice. Yeah. You have to kind of make your own amendments to said schedule because some things take longer than others, like 15 minutes. Like, when am I supposed to go to the bathroom? Right. You know what I mean? Like, where can I fit this in? At what point do I get the IV after practice because I lost 12 pounds? Like, when is that supposed to happen? So, yeah, you got to deal with some things yourself.
Well, please continue to ask Mike questions about this because it's fascinating to me to know exactly what the schedule is like for the Atlanta Falcons. Coming up, you've got the wake-up call. That's your opportunity to ask some questions. 404-726-0929. Jump on the show with us right now. Ask your questions about training camp. Like I said, that schedule. 404-726-0929. You can also send your questions in via Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. That is next with the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.